sun has set, the darkness deepens, and the world awaits midnight. Good evening. As usual, this is your host, Graves. Nice to have you with us again. I thought perhaps the tension and excitement of our little dramas might be too much for you. But I can see our listeners are made of hearty stuff, like the woman who wanted an autographed picture of me to put on her nightstand. She said I reminded her of her husband, her dead husband. So I had some pictures taken. The photographer got some wonderful shots before the camera lens cracked. I was going to have a friend of mine in the photo with me, but it seems he can't be seen by cameras or mirrors. Well, I sent off the photo to the woman, and it was a great success. She's dead now, too. By the way, I had some extra copies of the photo made. Would you like one? Just send me a letter and I'll mail you one. Free. You can put it next to your bed. If you dare. But now, let's get to tonight's story. Your seat belt fastened? Good. Because tonight we're going to follow a reporter's quest for the real story behind a mysterious auto crash. But she may turn up more than she bargained for. Traffic incident.
It'll be after midnight before we get home. Why'd you have to bring me so far out into the country?
Because, silly, it was the only theater showing the picture.
We couldn't wait till it got closer to town.
It wouldn't. It's an art film, and no theaters any closer will show it. Oh, Wayne, that was such a good movie. Didn't you think so?
It was okay.
Okay? It was one of the most eloquent statements on predetermination I've ever seen.
Liz, why do you newspaper people use such big words? Predetermination. Why not just say fate and be done with it?
We use big words. How about you lawyers? Anyway, I think the director used the concept very well.
I don't. He used fate as a cop-out to cover a weak story.
You just didn't like it because there were no car chases.
I'll admit that.
Besides, it wasn't a cop-out. The doctor had missed death a year earlier by being delayed for the plane. When it crashed, he knew he had been destined to die, but avoided it.
Yeah, yeah.
So when he lost the little girl on the operating table, he knew he had to get back on a plane and fulfill his destiny.
But that was happenstance. How could he know the very flight he was getting on would crash? He couldn't guarantee his death by getting on that particular plane.
But that's why the director intercut so many scenes of airplanes into the surgery sequence.
It was too contrived. If he really wanted to make a statement about...
Wayne, watch out for that car coming up behind us. Really swerving around.
Oh, yeah. I better move out of his way.
He's right abreast of us. Look out!
That guy must be trying to kill himself.
And us.
Watch it, you son of a...
Wayne, get away from him. Slow down. He took off.
Whew. That was a close one. That guy's nuts.
Look, he's swerving even more now up ahead. Keep behind him.
Don't worry.
He's going over the embankment.
That's funny. I didn't hear a crash.
Pull over. Come on.
I would have to be going with a reporter. Can you see anything?
No, it's too dark. Looks like a pretty steep cliff, though.
He must be down at the bottom.
But we didn't hear a crash.
It could have been muffled by trees or the bushes, and who knows how deep the ravine might be.
Still, we would have heard something. Maybe it just looked like he went over. Maybe he just swerved, got back on the road around the bend there.
Maybe. But we better call the police. I saw a shop open back down the highway.
Okay. But if we spend the night out here when we could be home in front of a nice warm fire, well, it better turn out to be some story.
You're sure this is where you saw the car go over?
Officer, you've asked us 5 times. This is the spot.
Well, we've checked the whole area. Don't find no car. And the bushes by the road aren't broken like they'd be if a car went through them.
At the rate he was going, he could have shot out over the cliff without touching the bushes at all.
Did your men find anything in the canyon?
Well, can't look too far down at night. Too dangerous for the men. But we'll make a better search in the morning.
Officer, I'm sure I saw it. The car went right over the side and disappeared into the canyon.
That may be, miss, but there's no signs of it. Believe me, I know how bushes look when a car's gone through them. You should have seen how the accident last year tore up the road.
Last year?
Yeah, right in this very spot. Road's tricky here. Light's not very good and the pitch of the pavement's really off. We've been trying to get the highway department to do something about it, but they say it's not a busy enough stretch. They got more important work to get done first, they say.
What about the accident?
Hmm?
You said there was an accident here last year.
Oh, right. Fella come highballing down the road, hits the curb, and goes right over the side. Worst part of it, he took another car with him. They was traveling side by side, and he just scooped them right off the road. At least that's what the witnesses said.
How's that?
Yeah. They claimed 2 cars went over. We found one. Fella was dead. But the car he was supposed to have taken with him never showed up. Looked for days and never found it.
And yet the highway department refuses to repair the road?
Uh-oh.
Beg pardon?
Nothing, officer. But I just saw that crusading journalist gleam in my lady friend's eye.
Well, why not? If this is a dangerous curve with a history of accidents, something ought to be done.
Maybe, but not tonight. Come on, if we hurry, we can still have a brandy at my place before we turn in.
That's a good idea. We won't find anything tonight. I'll give you a call in the morning if we turn anything up.
Fine. Here's my number. Oh, an officer.
Yeah?
When did you say that other accident happened?
Come to think of it, it was almost a year ago. Almost exactly.
Yes?
Miss Walker's on line 3.
Thank you. Hi, Liz.
Officer Brody called. They didn't find anything at the bottom of the canyon.
Well, that's that. Guess the driver did get it under control after all.
But, Wayne, I'm sure I saw it go over.
You're not just insisting on that so you can go after the highway department, are you?
Would I do that?
Yes.
Okay, maybe I would. But I still say that car fell into the canyon.
Maybe last year, but not last night.
Say, that's it.
What?
The angle I need. Even if the car didn't go over last night, it came awfully close. And that would make the second incident within a year. The highway department couldn't ignore that.
But, Liz...
Besides, if the light is so bad there that we mistook a near miss for an accident, something ought to be done about the illumination there, too.
Liz...
I've got to find some of the witnesses who saw the accident last year. Maybe they've seen or heard other near misses since then.
Liz!
What?
Are we having dinner together tonight?
Yes, of course. Unless I find something juicy in the paper's archives. I'm also going to find the names of those witnesses.
Okay, but just promise me one thing.
What?
If you do find something, don't ask me to prosecute.
But I tell you, the reports in the archives said all 4 witnesses swore to the same thing. The drunk driver came swerving up the road. He came abreast of the other car and suddenly hung a sharp right and went right off the edge of the cliff, taking the other car with him.
But the police only found 1 car, and the driver was killed. Served him right for driving drunk.
But that's not the point. The curve is dangerous, and the highway department ought to do something about it.
Liz, you have no case. A year ago, 1 car went over. Last night, despite what you thought you saw, 2 cars went over. Those are incidents, not accidents.
But, Wayne...
If I were going to prosecute the highway department, which I'm not, I'd have to prove a lot more than one accident to make a case for negligence.
But what if two cars did go over a year ago, and what if one did go over last night?
There's no evidence.
Well, then, that's what I'll have to find.
What?
I'll have to prove that two cars were involved a year ago, and a car actually did go over that cliff last night.
Now, it'll be tough to prove. If the police records show only one last year and none last night, how are you going to get your proof?
I'll talk to the witnesses.
Liz, that's circumstantial. The defense would label it mass delusion, a trick of the darkness. Just what happened to you last night.
What if I got more than one witness?
With no tangible proof, circumstantial evidence is the same, whether it comes from one witness or a dozen.
You're not making this very easy.
I'm only telling you the realities of the law. If you want to go after the traffic department, you'll have to have a pretty strong case.
So I'll get a strong case.
How?
I don't know yet, but with you to help me...
Whoa, hold it. I said I wouldn't prosecute this case for you.
I know, but you can help me with a little investigating, can't you?
But...
Besides, if we turn up something substantial, it'd be a nice feather in your young lawyer's cap, even if you don't prosecute.
You know something?
What?
You're a pretty smart reporter, for a woman.
Thanks. You're a pretty good cook, for a man. Is this Mr. Lionel Jeffers?
Yeah.
This is Elizabeth Walker from the Courier Post. I'd like to ask you a few questions about a traffic accident you may have heard 2 nights ago.
2 nights ago?
That's right.
Didn't hear no accident 2 nights ago.
Well, perhaps you remember an accident that occurred about a year ago? A drunk driver swerved across the road and hit another car, and both went over the edge of the cliff into the ravine.
About a year ago?
Yes. You were listed in the newspapers as one of the people whom the police questioned as a witness.
Oh, yes. I remember that one. I was sitting in front of the TV when I hear a car come honking and screeching down the road. Of course, I hear a lot of that since I got my hearing aid about 2 years ago. Cars come a-honking and screeching up the road all the time. Come from that roadhouse about a mile up the highway. That place just ain't got no responsibility, pouring all that gin down them truckers' throats. Been investigated by the city any number of times, but never got busted. Got it in with City Hall, as far as I'm concerned. Should have been closed years ago, but...
Yes, I'm sure, but I'd like to hear what happened a year ago. The accident?
Oh, yeah. Well, it was about 11:30. I was watching the movie on the television. Since I got my hearing aid, I like to watch all them old movies on the television.
Yes, and what happened?
Well, like I said, I hear this car come up the road honking and screeching. Usually they go right on up the road still carrying on. But this time, just about right in front of the house, I hear this screech. Like the guy's wheeled over, you know?
Yes.
Well, then I hear a scream and this big crash. Turns out the car went over the side of the cliff. Cops came out, of course, looked the place all over. Finally found the car way down the ravine next morning.
Did they find one car or two?
Only one.
But when they went over, did you hear one or two cars?
Well, now, can't rightly say. Heard a lot of screeching and the girl screams, like I said.
Wait a minute. You heard a woman scream?
Yeah. I'll never forget that. Remember that, because my new hearing aid picked it up real well.
But, Mr. Jeffers, didn't the police find only a man's body in the wreckage?
Yeah, that's what they said. I told them I was sure I heard a girl scream, but they said I must have been wrong. Only found one car and only found a guy in it.
This is beginning to get interesting.
How's that?
Never mind, Mr. Jeffers. About the other night, did you hear anything like an accident 2 nights ago?
No. Like I told the cops, I heard the honking and screeching, but I didn't hear no accident.
Well, thank you, Mr. Jeffers.
That's okay. Of course, even if there had been an accident, I wouldn't have heard it.
Oh? Why?
Battery in my hearing aid went out. Couldn't even hear the movie on the television. Didn't get it fixed till today. Just barely heard the honking and screeching come by the house.
So there could have been an accident, but you wouldn't have been able to tell.
Nope, probably not.
Well, thank you, Mr. Jeffers.
Welcome. Oh, I don't know what for.
For hearing a woman scream, Mr. Jeffers. A woman scream.
Precinct 12, Officer Brody speaking.
Officer Brody, this is Elizabeth Walker from the Courier Post. We talked yesterday about the traffic accident I saw, thought I saw out on the old highway.
Oh, yes, Miss Walker. What can I do for you?
Well, you mentioned that in the accident a year ago, a man's body was pulled from the wreckage of the car.
That's right.
Are you sure there was only the man inside?
Positive. Saw the car myself when they pulled it up from the ravine.
Is there any way another person could have been in the car, maybe thrown free when the car went over the cliff?
Well, now, let me think. No, as I remember it, the door on the passenger side was still shut.
How about the windshield? Was it broken?
Well, sure, but not so much that a body could have fallen out. Besides, when that happens, there's an awful lot of blood from the broken glass, you know. No blood on that side of the car to speak of.
So you're sure there was no one else in the car?
Positive. We checked quite thoroughly. Only the man.
Thank you, Lieutenant. Thanks very much.
Miss Walker, if you don't mind my asking, what brought all this up?
A woman's scream, Lieutenant Brody. Goodbye.
Now, I wonder what that woman is heading for.
I tell you, Wayne, the more I look into this, the dirtier it becomes.
Why? Because some old man with a bum hearing aid didn't hear a crash?
It's not just the crash. He swears he heard a woman scream when the cars went over the cliff a year ago. Yet the police claim there was only a man's body in the car. Now, either there's some awfully shoddy police work that went on, or somebody's covering up something.
Liz, every time witnesses remember something differently, it doesn't mean there's a conspiracy.
I know, but it's...
Remember the exercise you told me about at the police academy? Where the rookies observed a reenacted crime and then tried to give an accurate account of what took place?
I know. Out of 25 cadets, there were 25 different descriptions of the event.
Right. Besides, I'd credit the police investigation for more than the faulty memory of an elderly man.
Oh, I suppose you're right.
Certainly. Now, will you help me do these dishes?
Wayne, how many witnesses, all giving the same testimony about the same event, would overrule a police officer's report?
Oh, come on, Liz. You're not going to...
There were four witnesses to the accident last year. If their stories all gel...
They can't. They couldn't.
But what if they did?
If they did, and I mean if they agreed in every minute detail, there might be cause to reopen the investigation.
Or bring a negligence suit?
Yeah, maybe.
Great. See you later.
Where are you going?
I'm
going
to find those other three witnesses.
But the dishes.
It's all right. Use that new dishwashing liquid. Your hands will smell sweet. Bye.
Hello?
Miss Hemingway?
That's right.
I'm Elizabeth Walker from the Courier Post. I'd like to ask you a few questions about the accident that occurred across the road from you the other night.
Oh, of course. Come right in.
Thank you.
Sit down, won't you?
Thank you. Now, Miss Hemingway...
Call me Margie. Everybody does.
Thank you, Margie. Now, exactly what did you hear or see?
Well, it was just like I told the police officer, Officer Brody.
Yes?
I was sitting here in the front room with Minerva.
Minerva?
My cat.
Oh.
Minerva has such good ears. She can always hear the cars coming up the road. It disturbs her so that I have to lock her in the back room when I go to bed.
How's that?
Well, when the roadhouse up the highway closes, a lot of cars come by here. If they honk or screech around the bend, it makes Minerva so nervous. So I lock her in the back porch when I go to bed around midnight, so the noise won't frighten her.
I see. Now, the accident happened about 11:20.
Yes, that's before I went to bed. Minerva was sitting on my lap. That's how I happened to see the accident.
You actually saw it?
Oh, my, yes. Minerva heard the terrible racket the car made. She jumped out of my lap so quickly I bolted out of my chair with fright.
So you were looking out the window?
That's right. I saw the car come roaring up the road, honking and swerving.
And you saw it go over the cliff?
Oh, my, yes. It swerved ever so badly right near my mailbox. Then it seemed to stop for a moment, as if the driver were deciding where to go next. Then he apparently put his foot down on the gas, and the car went straight off the cliff.
Did you hear a crash?
Well, no, but I suppose that might have been because he didn't hit the embankment at all.
He didn't?
No. As I said, he was pointed right toward the cliff, and he headed for it so fast that he just flew off the edge of the cliff and sailed out into the ravine. I suppose it must have made some sound when it hit the bottom, but sound plays funny tricks in that canyon.
That's it. That's why we didn't hear a crash.
Beg pardon?
And why the police didn't find a car. It's too far down in the gorge.
Did you see the accident, too, my dear?
What? Oh, yes. Yes, we did. That is, I did. Or rather, Miss Hemingway, there was a similar crash about a year ago. Did you see that one also?
Oh, yes. Minerva heard that one coming, too.
This is very important. How many cars went over the side?
Why, two. That was the tragedy of it. That drunken driver took those two nice young people with him to their death.
You saw that much?
Yes. I told the police that, but they wouldn't believe me, on account they only found one car.
You say there were two people in the other car?
Yes. Of course, I only saw their outline against the sky, but one must have been a girl.
Yes? Why?
Why, I heard her scream.
And have there been any other accidents between then and last night?
Well, no, but a lot of near misses. Minerva hears them coming, you know.
Yes. Bless you, Minerva. Miss Hemingway, would you repeat what you just told me to a friend of mine? He's a lawyer, and I'd like him to hear it, too.
A lawyer? Oh, my, I don't want to get mixed up.
Don't worry, Margie. You'll be doing yourself and this city a service.
Well, all right. I suppose there's no harm.
Fine. I'll be back with him in about an hour.
When you return, please drive up quietly, my dear.
Quietly?
Yes. Minerva's ears are so sensitive, you know.
Honestly, Liz, pulling me out at this time of night just to talk to some loony old woman.
She's not loony.
With a cat who hears things.
Wayne, you're not giving this a chance. This could break the case wide open.
What case? All you've got so far is a bunch of conflicting stories about two accidents that may or may not have ever happened.
This will clinch it. I know it will. All you have to do is listen to Miss Hemingway.
Here comes another one of those drivers.
From the roadhouse, no doubt. Give him plenty of room.
Don't worry. Hey! Look out!
He's coming over.
He's trying to run us off the road!
Look out!
Officer Brody, those poor people.
Sure, sure, Miss Hemingway. They'll be pulling the wreckage up in a minute.
It's terrible. I saw it all.
Right, Miss Hemingway. Just like all the others you reported in the last year.
That's right.
You really should get those glasses fixed, Miss Hemingway. You know, the doctors have said you're nearly blind without them.
What do those doctors know? They're no better than the ones who told me I should put Minerva to sleep.
Miss Hemingway, you did have Minerva put to sleep 6 months ago.
I did? Oh, that's right. I forget things so easily, don't I?
Yeah.
But I'm sure about this time, officer. I saw the accident, clear as a bell. That's why I was so insistent you come out this time.
Well, as it happens, we did find the car this time.
You see?
But not from any accident last night. This is the second car from that crash a year ago. We found it in a grove of trees way down on the canyon.
Were the people in it?
Well, what's left of them. A year in the elements can decay a lot, on a car and on people.
Who were they?
Well, from the bits of identification still intact, they seem to be a girl reporter and her boyfriend, a lawyer. We'll know for sure when we make the identification from the dental records.
Well, I guess that wraps up the case, huh, officer?
Yeah, Miss Hemingway, I guess it does. We finally found that second car, after all this time.
guests Elizabeth and Wayne met their fate right on cue. Or did they? Maybe they were a year late. I hope they spent their extra time in pleasant pursuits. I know what I'd do if I had an extra year. Oh, but that's a subject for a different grisly little tale.
I wonder what Annie hopes to find out by following Angelina Carmenetti. It certainly is thrilling. And say, wasn't that exciting news we heard last time about Orphan Annie's new identification bureau? Yes, sir. Every one of you boys and girls can get in on it and get a keen-looking identification tag and chain for your very own.
One of the most fondly remembered aspects of the golden era of radio is the giveaways, or premiums as they were called, that were offered in abundance by children's shows and soap operas. Even the prime-time evening programs occasionally offered special items for listeners to request by mail, or even obtain in person at the sponsors' retail outlets. Many members of SPURDVAC, the Society to Preserve and Encourage Radio Drama, Variety, and Comedy, collect and preserve these bits of memorabilia, as well as recordings of the programs that offered them. And by the way, the offer made by Graves at the beginning of this program is legitimate. If you would like an autographed picture of our ghoulish host, in the flesh, simply request a copy by writing to SPURDVAC at the address given at the end of tonight's program.
Next on Midnight.
It's happening again, sir, an undersea earthquake.
All engines ahead, flank, keep on the surface.
The dive planes are responding, sir, we're being pulled under.
Blow all ballast, try to head out sideways.
It's not working, sir, approaching 1,000 feet.
What is mapping show?
Epicenter looks to be right below us, but it seems to be stretching. Getting longer, like a fissure opening up on the bottom. We're passing 2,000 feet.
That can't be. It's not that deep here.
I know, sir. It's like a big hole's opening in the bottom and it's swallowing us.
Next time, a submarine crew goes searching for the source of a mysterious undersea earthquake and finds an apocalyptic cosmic secret. Don't miss Mitosis. Next on Midnight. Traffic Incident was written and directed by Roger Rittman. Featured in the cast were Sandra Snow, Michael Vernon, Martin Battlestain, William Irwin, and Virginia DiAuria. Also heard were Isabel Lee and Bob Farley. Sound effects by David Surtees with Mark Trella. Production assistance by Bama Newman. Engineering by Gil Jones. Midnight is a Roger Rittner radio production. Now, until we meet again, this is your host, Graves, reminding you, wherever you are, it may not be midnight now, but it soon will be.
Funding for this program has been provided by Transamerica Occidental Life Insurance Company. Midnight is a workshop production of the Society to Preserve and Encourage Radio Drama, Variety, and Comedy. For more information about the Society, write to Post Office Box 1587, Hollywood, California, 90028.